we'll stand and clap. Okay, we won't. We won't stand and clap. All right, so 1 Chronicles 24. This is one of those passages of Scripture that is not on your list of things that you're probably going to study when you have your devotions, and you're like, hey, what are the top 10 passages in the Old Testament? Yes, let's go to Chronicles. But this is where we are, and you might notice if you're and don't get it mixed up with 1 Corinthians. Okay, yeah, 1 Corinthians does not have 24 chapters in it, so eventually it looks like you asked for help and found it, so wonderful. 1 Chronicles chapter 24, and King David is the king at this point, and you will notice in verse number 1, these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar. Nadab, Abihu died before their father. That happened in Leviticus. They had no children. Therefore, Eleazar and Ithamar ministered as priests. All right, look at verse 3. Then David was Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech of the sons of Ithamar, divided them according to the schedule of their service. All right, so here's how this works, friends. You probably already know that there are 12 sons of Jacob, and one of them was Levi. Jacob and his not favorite wife, Leah, had 7 children together, 6 boys and 1 girl, and the third son was Levi. And Levi provided what for the children of Israel?
Priests.
Yeah, priests. They worked in and around the temple, by this time the tabernacle, and they weren't needed all the time. There were tens of thousands of them. So they split them up into shifts throughout the year. And here we are. We're just going to read a few more verses, so do not be afraid. Verse 4. There were leaders found of the sons of Eleazar, then of the sons of Ithamar, and thus they were divided. Among the sons of Eleazar were 16 heads of their father's houses, 8 heads of their father's houses among the sons of Ithamar. Can I get someone to read 5 through 5 and 6?
Thus were they divided by lot, one sort with another, for the governors of the sanctuary and governors of the house of God were of the sons of Eleazar and of the sons of Ithamar. Shemachah, the son of Nathaniel, the scribe, one of the Levites, wrote them before the king and the princes, and Zadok the priest, and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, and before the chief of the fathers of the priests and Levites. One principal household being taken for Eleazar, and one taken for Lethamar.
All right, is everyone blessed? All right, so I need someone now to read 7, 8, 9, and 10 to finish our reading in 1 Chronicles. Verses 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Now, first off, came right. Forth to Jehoram, second to...
Oh, hang on a second, Paul. We've got a reader right over here. Go ahead, Brother Paul. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Now, the first lot came forth to Jehoram, the second to Jedidiah. The third to Reem, the fourth to Seorim, the fifth to Malchijah, the sixth to Milaben, the seventh to Hazcox, the eighth to Abijah.
All right. Now, I want you to pay special attention to that, if you can believe this. I want you to pay special attention to verse 10. All right? It's important for tonight's study. Verse number 10 is important for tonight's study. It says, the eighth to Abijah, there at the end of verse 10. The seventh to Hekaz, and the eighth to Abijah. How many courses are there total in this? Yep, that's right. What verse? You should see verse number 18. The 23rd to Deliah, the 24th to Maziah. So there's 24 shifts throughout the year. All right, so there's some things you need to know about these shifts. These shifts, according to some historians, were equally divided into the number of days in a Jewish year. A regular Jewish year was 354 days, not 365, 354. The months were lunar, that is, they started on a new moon. The year was solar. So they have the new year, forgive me, the year was lunar as well. So you have the years starting at different times each year. Now, if it's a leap year, which happened often, it would be a 13th month of 30 days. This is the Jewish calendar. And I know that that's God's calendar, and I'm really happy about that, but I thank God for the system we have. So they have a 13th month, and it's 30 days. So a leap year is 384 days for the Jews. I'm getting somewhere. I'm not just giving you stuff because I don't like... I'm telling someone today, I got one D in my entire college career, and it was European history. So I am not about just dishing out historical facts unless... we need them for something. I think that that's why you have books, so you can look stuff up if you want to, right? So 384 days in a leap year. All right. 24 shifts or courses. All right. And so why don't we take a look now at Luke chapter number 1. Everyone is turning to, if you can, Luke chapter number 1. The title for tonight's study that will be 15 to 20 minutes long is it feasible? Is it feasible? Maybe the better word is plausible. Is it plausible that Jesus was born on December the 25th? Say, I cannot believe I drove 100 miles to be here tonight to talk about this. The reason we're talking about this is so that you can see that you are empowered as students of the Bible to find answers and to use the seemingly obscure references in the Old Testament sometimes to help you with Bible interpretation. So if I were to have a subtitle for this little study tonight, it would be, "No, I did not say he was born on December 25th. That's the subtitle, all right? The title is it possible? Is it plausible? Next week, we'll deal with the main objection to Jesus being born in December, which is shepherds being in the field, and whether or not that is a good counter argument to Jesus being born in what we would call winter. So again, if you value scripture, and I know that you do, then this matters, no matter if you know the application tonight or not. What I'm doing is, as a pastor, Ephesians 4, I'm equipping you to be good students of the Bible and notice things. For example, did you notice verse 5 before? Luke 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, and look here, of the division of Abia. All right, so all of a sudden we have a connection with 1 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 10. We have the course of Abia serving the 8th of 24 courses. Remember that from 1 Chronicles 24:10? The 8th of 24 courses. All right. Remember, the title of tonight's lesson is not what Bill Sturm thinks where Jesus was born on the calendar. That's not it. It's, is it possible that he was born in December? Because there's always people that want to make sure you know he wasn't. I just want to provide for you the fact that there are people that love their Bibles that disagree. And so, if you could determine what part of the year the course of Abia served, and if you could determine that there was no delay between Zechariah's term in the temple and the pregnancy of Elizabeth, like no delay, like went home and she got pregnant. Walked in the door and there, right? Now, why do I bring that up? Because you'll notice that he is told that his wife will have a son. And you'll notice that it says that in verse 13 of Luke 1. And he argues with the Lord. We preached on this 1 year ago and 2 years ago. And Sunday morning. He argues with the Lord about how this is impossible. She's old and me too. Right? And basically he is struck what?
Dumb.
Which doesn't mean that he ain't got no sense. It means that he can't speak. Verse 22 clears that up for us. And so as soon, verse 23, as the days of his service were completed, he departed to his own house, and after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived. So, let's work through this together. If we know what part of the year the course of Abia served, if we know when the year began, this particular year, and we know when the course of a bee is served, and we know for sure how many days were between his return to home and Elizabeth's conception. You'll notice the beginning of verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And what are we about to read here? Who appears to Mary? Gabriel appears to Mary in the sixth month of Elizabeth. Now, her pregnancy. We don't know how far into the sixth month, do we? It doesn't tell us. And we find out from verse number 29, I believe it is. Where does Gabriel reinforce that? Oh, there it is, verse 36. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her. So it's after 5 months, and it could be all the way up to the end of the sixth month. So you see how we're working with this here. If we know when the Jewish year started, this particular year, and we know what part of the year Zechariah served in his eighth shift, right? And we know how long it took for Elizabeth to conceive, and she's in her sixth month when Mary has a visit from Gabriel. How long is gestation usually? 9 months, 280 days, every source I checked. Then if you know all those things, then you can know the exact date Jesus was born. Right? Now, do we know all those things? No, we don't know those things. Let me tell you what we don't know. We don't know the exact year that Jesus was born, just from Scripture, and therefore we don't know the exact New Year date on our calendar for that year. The second thing that we do not know is whether these priests served 1 week at a time, and therefore Zacharias would have served week 8 and week 32, right? Because 24 courses, he served 8, and all 24 do their week, that's 24 weeks, and then you go, he's week 8 again, so he's week 32. So we don't know if it was week 8 or week 32. And then if Josephus is right, that's the first century rapper. No, he's a Jewish historian. And he says that all of the Levites, no matter their course, came and served during Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. We don't know if that's technically true. But if we knew, and what else do we not know? We don't know how long it took for Zacharias to travel home after his time in the temple. If he's traveling on beast and or walking, and we don't know if it took him 2 days or 5 days. We don't know if he traveled on the Sabbath or not. There's a lot of things we don't know. We don't know, if I can just say the word, and you can explain it to your kids if they ask you later, we don't know if Elizabeth was ovulating right away, do we? How about that for sensitive information? We don't know how far into the sixth month she was pregnant when Gabriel visited Mary, do we? Okay, if we knew all that, then we could pinpoint the birth of Jesus. So, we're not talking about precision, we're talking about plausibility tonight. So let me share with you a way in which we can make it work. That's what I'm trying to do. I've showed you some scriptural things that we do find in Scripture. What are the things we do find in Scripture? Zacharias served in the eighth course. Elizabeth was 6 months along when Gabriel visited Mary. And then we also know that unless Jesus was like being fed hormones like a chicken on a farm, he had 9 months or 280 days, right? Regular gestation, right? All right, so let me give you some assumptions over here on this board. And if you think this is a horrible waste of time, write your senator or send me a text later. And I promise that I will never talk about this again here. And it's true. It's just about true. I rarely talk about the same thing twice. All right, so we're going to begin here with March 27th as the Jewish New Year. I'm trying to show you how we can get it to work, all right? So that you can see it's not completely ridiculous that he could have been born in December using the Bible, okay? So March 27th is the New Year in the year 4 B.C., if you go up and down the scale, it's sometimes started as early as March 6th and sometimes as late as April 20th. It just so happens I'm picking the one that suits me. All right? Somewhere between 6 BC and 1 AD, the new year goes between March 6th
and March 27th. For our purposes, because it suits me, I'm picking March 27th. All right? So, I'm picking this as New Year on our calendar. Rather, the Jewish calendar on our calendar is March 27th. Okay, so Jewish New Year. And on our calendar. And I'm going to put 4BC. All right. Now I'm going to make another assumption. This is totally an assumption. Here's what the assumption is. I am going to assume, yes, I'm going to assume, that for my purposes, to prove plausibility of a December birth, I am choosing to make an assumption here. My assumption is that Zechariah served not only the 8th week and not only the 32nd week, but that he served perhaps the Feast of Tabernacles like Josephus in the first century says. Now, that gives us 6 months into the year is September 20th, 6 months into year, and an additional 15 days, or hang on, 23, additional 23 days gets us to the end of the Feast of Tabernacles. End of feast. Or, to use the Luke reference, the end of Zechariah's service. So this is Luke 1, if I could just put a reference here, at the end of his service. Luke chapter number 1 and verse 23. I'm just going to put that right here. I am now going to make another assumption. I seem to be doing that a lot. I'm going to assume 2 days of travel to get home. He is a track star. 2 days of travel, all right? We're going to assume that that evening things went well. And that she conceived immediately. All right? You're like, man, I thought we had this talk already in junior high. We're having it again, all right? We're going to assume the best for Zacharias, okay? And so that means that we're going to assume a normal year, 354 days. I have this, if you want the notes, I can get them to you later. They will soon be in the Luke commentary. They're already in the Luke commentary. You just don't have it because I'm not done with Luke yet. But anyway, we're going to assume a 354-day normal year, and we're going to assume that that is exactly 177 days to get us to 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy. We are assuming it's the last day of the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. A lot of assumptions. Yeah. And you say, well, you know what assumptions do. Yeah. No, I don't. Yeah. All right. 6 months into, we'll call it Elizabeth's pregnancy. Or we could say Elizabeth's prego. I was taught that. All right. So now we're at April 11th. Now, I'm going to assume that on that last day of her month of pregnancy, when Gabriel, now you might notice, it says in Luke 1 and verse 36, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the 6th month for her who is called barren, for with God nothing be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me, present tense, according to your word. And the angel departed from her. It's at that point where I think she conceived. You'll notice in verse 39, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. Now, verse 41, it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. That's John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed, she's talking to Mary, blessed is the fruit of, not your loom, but fruit of the womb. All right? So, Mary already has fruit in her womb. You see that? So, I'm assuming that she was pregnant before she left home to go to Elizabeth's house. And I am assuming, therefore, that a regular 280-day what they call gestation period And that puts us, the birth of Jesus, at January 16th.
Now, yikes, Pastor Bill, we're 22 days over.
Well, we've been doing a lot of assuming. We could we can lose 22 days at least three ways, or a combination of the three. Here they are. Pick a year with an earlier New Year date. Right? If I wanted to nail a December 25th, just pick a year where the year starts earlier. All right? Or I could pick earlier times that Zacharias served. We could say that he didn't serve the Feast of Tabernacles. He served in his eighth week. And that was the week that the angel showed up to him. That will make it earlier by 3 months. Or we could say in the 32nd week. That would make it earlier by a couple weeks. All right? Or we could shorten the amount of time into Elizabeth's 6th month. If she's 5 months plus 1 day pregnant when Gabriel visits Mary, we just made up 29 days. You see that? So what I'm trying to get you to see is that with little details in Scripture, you may not become more knowledgeable of the particular fact of Jesus' birthday, but you can at least discuss with little details, like Zacharias served in the course of Abia, and Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when Gabriel visited Mary. Just two biblical facts. And Mary was pregnant by the time she got to Elizabeth. Just little things on the page that can help you come up with a best answer for now. All right. Well, I've already proven to you. Yes, go ahead, Pat.
In Spanish, they celebrate the Feast of the Kings, Three Kings.
Yeah. January 3rd.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
it's a great way to get another day off work.
Okay.
That's how it worked in the Army. Yeah, yeah. All the Catholic soldiers got January 3rd off. But what are you saying?
Maybe it is January the 16th.
Maybe so. Yeah, I'm not trying to nail it down. I'm trying to show you in Scripture how we get with certain dates. On Christmas Eve of 2017.
Last week you said that the kings come a year later.
Yeah.
Tommy was 1 to 2 years old.
So on Christmas Eve of 2017, Pastor Zach usually gives me grief over it. It's pretty funny. But I preached a particular message on Christmas Eve, and I talked about the dragon that was standing before the woman. So who preaches on Revelation 12 on Christmas Eve? Just me, I guess. And we talked about how there are signs in the stars that in the first few verses of Revelation. And there are particular things. Why did they pick December 25th? Because, someone said, because it was Constantine, and they picked December 25th because it was a pagan holiday. Don't be so quick to assume that. Don't forget that the gospel was in the stars. And don't forget that the gospel was in the stars before Babylon. And don't forget that most religious perversions today came out of Babylon. So it doesn't always have to be that Christianity adopt the pagan ritual. Sometimes it can be that the pagans hijacked the Christian thing that predated the Tower of Babel. So there are certain things that happened in the stars that land particular things, like the bright king star Judah got the brightest on December the 25th of a particular year. So I'm just trying to get us to make sure that we don't get too hot under the arms about this kind of stuff. It's okay to understand that there are people that love the Scripture and are paying attention to the Scripture and come out with two different answers, and it's fine, right? So you don't have to feel bad if you celebrate Christmas. I've told a lot of people, if I had a good guess at to what date Jesus was checked into the nursery at church the first time, I'd celebrate it because I like Jesus. If I knew the first time he ate Cheerios, I would probably celebrate it. So there's nothing wrong with this, okay? And at the same time, can I prove that he was born on December 25th? Absolutely not. Absolutely, I cannot.
And that was 3 weeks.
What's that?
She could have had him early, too.
Yeah, she could have had him early. Great point. Weeks. Need to add that to my list.
He could have come early. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Do first children come early? All right, any other thoughts or questions, comments?
Dot had a good point.
Yeah. What is Dot's good point?
My good point was after that donkey ride, she could have definitely had him early. See?
Good point.
There we go.
Some people go to the mall and climb stairs.
Yes.
Some people ride 75 miles on a donkey. Yeah. Yes, sir.
First time a lady has a baby used 2 weeks late.
Thank you for that. Now, regarding Pat's comment, yeah, we did talk about how the last week, how that the wise men probably came a year or two later, probably a year later. So, yeah, that was last week. All right. Yes, sir.
How do you account for the shepherds dividing in the field?
Yes. We're going to account for that next week in our study. And there is a good answer, and I'm not the originator of the answer. I've read a guy by the name of Alfred Edersheim that you can get for about 99 cents on Kindle. It's a 100-year-old book, and he talks about some of the first century customs. And we're going to talk about that next week. So thank you, Duane, for that good question.
Pastor?
Yes, ma'am.
Who set the date of December 25th?
Well, December 25th, something happens called winter solstice, I think it's called. And so the astronomers would say winter solstice is based on the birth of Christ in the stars out of the book of Job. But folks who subscribe to religious history redactionism, big words, which mean we're going to try to rewrite things, they discredit Christianity by claiming that everything we did in the first 1,000 years was because Constantine made us do it, the emperor of Roman Empire in the 300s. And again, it gives way too much credit to paganism when you realize that all the cultures of the world have four things you can find in their records: creation, the fall, the flood, and the Tower of Babel. And at that point, they stop having the same stories on their cuneiform and on their cave writings. And, well, why do we have all four of those things in common? Because we were all one people until the Tower of Babel. So it could be that Job, having been written around that time, it could be that Job, when he talks about Arcturus and Orion and the Pleiades and the Chambers of the South in Job 9, or he talks about the Maseroth in the book of Job, which is an old way of talking about the signs of Aquarius, which is New Age talk now. And so we assume if you talk about the stars, you're a New Ager. No, the New Agers stole it from ancient Christians. The wise men saw his star. What were they looking at? Well, they somehow knew to look in the stars and find out, wow, a Jewish king is being born. So you could find the gospel in the stars. In fact, Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament displays his handiwork. How? The stars tell the story of the coming of Christ. So the stars do wacky things on December 25th, and that's why a lot of people think that it not only prophesied the date of Jesus' birth, but that the pagans stole it and made it a pagan thing. Back when they defected from the people of Noah, and particularly Shem at the Tower of Babel. Alrighty. Yes, brother, Pastor Randy.
The what we know is the zodiac prior to Babylon was known as the Maseroth.
Yes, sir.
And it's understood that the Abraham and those folks, and even prior to Noah, could tell the gospel story through the stars because they knew the name of the stars. They knew you had to know the name of the stars and the brightness and the order they were in to be able to tell the story. And then when it goes to Babylon, it gets corrupt, comes out as what we know as the zodiac.
Right. Very good. Yes, sir. That's correct. Yes. And so Pastor Randy is on it. And what we want to make sure that everyone gets here is that the devil is a corrupter. He's not very inventive. He's a corrupter of what is good. And what he says is right on, and that's why the people that are called astronomers in the book of Daniel, what are they studying? What are the wise men studying? And did you notice that a man in Moab in Numbers 24 told us that a star would arise out of Jacob? So this stuff goes way back, and it's good to know. So anyway, all of that out of the course of Abia. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to study your word. Thank you for giving us liberty to enjoy details and make educated biblical guesses and to leave room for disagreement. I pray you'd help our prayer times be fruitful. Help us to pray, Lord, like you are listening to us. The very God of heaven is listening to us and answering and working. Oh, Lord, help us to pray like people that are convinced. In Jesus' name, amen.